Blog Talk Radio.
James Bostic here, conservative perspective. I was lost in the melancholy serenade there. James Bostic, a conservative perspective here at Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on Sundays at the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, well, you should be. You really should be. It is the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio out there. Plus, not to mention what we got going on here with Patriot Nation Radio. We have the handsome one himself, Mark Hoffman, El Guapo, with Patriot Nation Radio live Thursdays, 8 p.m., right after the Thursday edition of ACP. We have the man, Gary Binford, with United Patriots Uprising on every other Monday. He had a slam bang show last night. I mean, luminaries, baby. Luminaries, all-stars. Trevor Loudon, Raquel Oke, Virginia Prodan, Professor Nicholas Giordano, Agnes Gibney. My apologies to Mr. Kwong Nguyen in Arizona. I'm Mr. Call. I'm not exactly sure how that happened because ordinarily I am very attentive to these things. But somehow something happened and it got by me, and I am very, very sorry. We'll get you back on at the earliest opportunity, and we can't wait to have you back. It was a fantastic show. Beyond that glaring failure on my part, it was a fantastic show. Everybody was in it, and it was all commies all the time. And what had happened was we had terrific people in to talk about the communist infiltration, infested the communist Marxist cancer. That has invaded the halls of power in the United States federal government. You need to check that out in the archive. It was a barn burner. Katie barred the door. It was fantastic. Not dead air. Just thinking here. you know, for almost a year, I guess probably since late April, early May, I've been on Cuomo. You guys can dig into my archive shows. I've got a lot of stuff about Andrew Cuomo from that March 25th executive order from 2020 from the New York Board of Health. And you know, I hate the guy. I was straight up with it. He's a crooked hack politician. He was from a dynastic political family in New York. He was a privileged, entitled guy. He's a piece of it. And you know what I'm talking about. Now, for those of you who came in late or otherwise live underneath a rock somewhere, last March, March 25th to be exact, there was a directive that came from the New York Board of Health mandating that folks from hospitals who were being discharged because of the grossly over-anticipated surge on hospital resources because of the COVID-19 pandemic, they sent these folks to nursing homes who will clear them out. And the nursing homes had no choice but to take these people. They couldn't even ask if they had COVID, whether it was a confirmed case, whether it was a suspected case. You couldn't even ask them. You couldn't check for it. You couldn't assess for it. And further, even if they did have it, you could not refuse them. The nursing homes were prohibited from refusing these people. As a result, this virus, which for those folks who are in the pink, it's got a 99% survivability rate. 99% and change. But there are people that it can hurt. There are people to whom it is deadly. Folks with comorbidities, folks that are heavy set or have coronary issues or respiratory issues, cancer survivors, heart surgery, and the elderly. So Mario Cuomo, through this directive on March 25th, 2020, directs these people with the China virus into the nursing homes. And as a result, those folks in the nursing homes, the elderly, and not just the elderly, as many of you know, there are folks with specific medical needs that are not elderly who stay in nursing homes as well. But they are just as vulnerable. The result of which 15,000 people died at the hands of Mario Cuomo and his administration in New York. 15,000 people. And what did friend Cuomo have to say for himself about all this? Well, I'll tell you. Or better yet, we'll let him tell you.
Your governor of New York's done one hell of a job. He's just sort of a gold standard.
The gold standard for killing old people.
We have to be able to say we did everything we can, right? We have to look at that death number every day. 166
see, how can we get bigger? How can we get it bigger?
The only way you put your head on the pillow at night is you say, I did everything I could.
I killed this man.
They had a hospital bed. They had the best nurses. They had the best doctors. They had ventilators. They had the best treatment. We did everything
we could. And we were still able to kill 15,000.
Up until today, as I am before you, I can look you in the eyes and say, we did everything that we could. As a society, you can't save everyone. You're going to lose people. That's life. That's somebody else is in charge.
And we did what we could to help.
Much higher pay grade. But we did everything we could. I want to make sure the same is true until this is over. We did everything we could.
Donald Trump caused the COVID outbreak in New York.
Donald Trump caused the COVID outbreak in New York.
That
is a fact.
Right.
It's a fact that he admitted, and the CDC admitted, and Fauci admitted. The China virus,
the China virus.
It was not the China virus.
No.
It was the European virus that came to New York. They missed it. They missed it. The China virus went to Europe. It got on a plane. It went to Europe. They never even thought of the possibility. And then 3 million Europeans got on the plane and came to New York. And they brought the virus. January, they brought the virus.
That's a lie.
February, they brought the virus.
That's a lie.
March, they brought the virus.
That's a lie.
And in mid-March, the federal government does a travel ban from Europe. Mid-March. Too little, too late, Mr. President. He caused the COVID outbreak in New York.
A third of all deaths in this nation are from nursing homes. New York State, we're only about 28% only. But we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes.
We're going to build that up. Here's our plan. Let me tell you about
33, 28 died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
Yeah.
Fact. Of the 613 nursing homes, we have 613 nursing homes in the state. 365 received a person from a hospital. Of the 365 that received a person from this March 25th guidance, which was then superseded in May, 98% of those 365 already had COVID in their hot facility.
You lying son of a bitch.
COVID did not get into the nursing homes by people coming from hospitals. COVID got into the nursing homes by staff walking into the nursing home when we didn't even know we had COVID. Staff walking into a nursing home, even though they were asymptomatic, because the national experts all told us you could only spread COVID if you had symptoms. And they were wrong.
And I want to
COVID
talk
may
like
have
this.
Been brought into a nursing home because visitors
it
brought it in
is,
and didn't know they were
I
contagious
lied.
Because
lied
the guidance was you can only be contagious if you have symptoms,
jail.
If you're sneezing, if you're coughing. That turned out to be wrong. That's how COVID got into the nursing homes. 98% of the people who took a person back from a hospital who was probably no longer contagious, already had it in the facility. And they signed and agreed that they could handle it because they already had people who were COVID in the nursing home. If you look at the rate of death.
Zip it. This dude's up there with Brennan. He is. This son of a bitch. He's up there with Brennan. I hate this guy that much. Maybe worse. I'm going to tell you why. And as most of you know, I have done a lot of things in my life. I really have. We're going to talk about the European virus. Hold on. Let me write that down. That was one that got me, that stooge, that maroon, that screwball, that idiot. He doesn't even understand. I'll break it down for you. I got it under control. Where were we? Okay. No, seriously, where were we? We're talking about the European virus, but that's not where I'm going with this. Oh, why I hate Nipples Cuomo. Well, look at him. He just looks like somebody to hate. But it's legitimate. I've been around a little while, and I have done a lot of different things in my life. Some of them pretty cool. Some of them pretty mundane. None of them paid very well, but it was interesting work. And one of the things I did was I worked as an activities director in a couple of different nursing homes. And that was, man, that was pretty cool. I got to admit, it really was. It was like imagine working in a lot of respects, imagine that you were like working in a house full of your grandparents. And that was, and a lot of that was, you know, that's what it was a lot of times. And it was a great job and I loved it. And there were a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of those old folks I got, I was drawn to them. And that work that I did there, and those happy, positive moments that I spent with those people, excuse me, gosh, you know, they resonate with me still. I'm very proud of what I did there. I was good with those old folks, and they ate me up. We loved each other, and we had a great time. And I think I did some good work. I really did. And now here I am on the other end of the spectrum. See what I mean? Now, when I get ready to tell you this, in my mind, and I want it in your mind too, the people that I'm getting ready to tell you about and what happened to them are the kind of guys that I work with every day, that I have worked with every day for the last, what year is it? 21. Married 04. 16 years. I've been doing this for 16 years. Damn. Anyway, these are the story that I'm getting ready to tell you involves people of the kind of folks that I work with every day. And I think, of course, there are a lot of people who might disagree, but I think I'm a pretty easygoing guy. By and large, I'm fairly easy to get along with, unless something happens and I'm not, and then I can tell you I am not easy to get along with at all. I can be just as tough as I can, you know, easy to go on, but. These two groups that I had worked so closely with and been exposed to, these two bookends of humanity, with me invariably here still kind of in the middle, heading over towards the old people's bookends, but I'm still, you know, moving back and forth a little bit, some of the most innocent. You know, if there are kids and folks in the world who deserve to be left alone and to live their lives in comfort and peace and work towards being a productive member of society with nobody hassling, nobody screwing with them, it's these two groups. Now, with that in mind, let me tell you what this son of a bitch did. Everybody's carrying this story. The New York Post is carrying this story. The Blaze is carrying this story. The Washington Examiner is carrying this story. And I think what we'll do is we'll go with the Blaze. Who's got the byline on this? Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is the Post. And this is from the editorial board. It is truly obscene. Governor Cuomo not only forced group homes, not nursing homes, group homes, my guys, for the intellectually and the developmentally disabled to take in the COVID infected, just as he did with nursing homes. He has left this mandate in place. It is in effect. As you and I are talking, some bitch is killing people in the group homes. Now, the March 25th, 2020 directive was in place until they reviewed the policy and they rescinded that sometime in, I think, late May, June. So So it wasn't in effect for very long, just a few months. But he killed 15,000 people during that time when it was in effect. The one that we're talking about now is still in effect. Governor's minions were also stonewalling on the resulting group home death toll, even after they were forced to admit the truth about the homes of the elderly. So we don't know here. Again, this it's playing out again. What he did in the nursing homes, he mirrored in the group home system throughout the state of New York. The state's Office for People with Developmental Disabilities had a directive issued in April 10th, as a matter of fact, strikingly similar to the nursing home order. It bars residential facilities from denying admission or readmission to anyone based solely on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. They're not even allowed to test a hospitalized patient for the virus prior to admission. Same thing as in the nursing homes. On a somewhat lesser scale, though, it does seem to appear that it was just as lethal. Group home residents with intellectual or developmental disabilities were 3 times more likely to contract the coronavirus and 3 times more likely to die from it than the general New York population. A months-long investigation conducted by Disability Rights New York, the New York Civil Liberties Union, and the New York Lawyers for the Public Interest found out all this stuff. They're the ones behind this. The report this week notes the daunting task of minimizing virus spread in residences where more than a dozen individuals may reside and share bathrooms and other living areas. Imagine how impossible it must be when a contagious patient is forced into such a living situation. The Office for People with the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities reports that more than 6,900 out of nearly 35,000 group home residents have caught COVID, 552 fatally. But that's likely an undercount, very similar to the undercount we saw that turned 5,000 into 5 or turned 15,000 into 5. So this is probably going to be closer to 12, 1,500 kids or folks in these group homes. This mandate is still in place. It has been in place since April 10th of 2020. It has not changed. There's probably only about 8 of you or 10 of you that are listening, and 6 of you really know me. but those who do, you guys know what I do, man, and you know what those boys and girls mean to me. That's the kind of people we're talking about in these group homes where Governor Cuomo enacted the same policies that killed 15,000 senior citizens, maybe more. He grabs a couple of titties and everybody loses their mind. And I'm not saying that he should, okay, yes, titty grabbing is bad, especially if it's unauthorized. It is really bad. But it's not as bad as killing 15,000 New Yorkers. And if we add in the group home numbers, that's probably going to come out to more than 16, 18,000 New Yorkers. What in the hell does it take, people? He needs to swing for what he's done. I know these people. I have spent large chunks of my life with both ends of this spectrum. I'm here to tell you they're innocent. Are they high maintenance? Are they a pain in the ass? Are there days that I would like to, are there days where my hands literally have ached, where I have choked out one of these guys in my mind? Yeah, absolutely. That doesn't take away from their innocence. So in addition to our grandfathers, our grandmothers, our grandparents, our aunts and our uncles, our moms and our dads, maybe our brothers and sisters, now we can throw in our nieces, our nephews, our sons, our daughters. Cradle to grave. Nothing's going to happen. Not really. Most likely he'll be convicted in nothing more than a court of public opinion. But he won't go to jail. He won't lose any money. Our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our moms and dads, our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters. Mother of pearl. Take a little bit of a break. We'll be back with more of ACP after this. James Bostic, a conservative perspective here at Patriot Nation Radio on blogtalkradio.com. We do it live twice a week, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you ought to be, because it's the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Did I agitate you people a little bit? I hope I did. I really do. I hope I did, because I got a little agitated here. Like I said, that just and it's nothing. Okay, the callousness, the cold-heartedness, the ineptitude, coupled with a sociopathological apathy, was what was going on. The only time these people pushed the panic button was when they thought earlier in August that the DOJ was going to seriously open up an investigation now that Biden's in charge and Merrick Garland's attorney general. I don't think anybody's got anything to worry about from the feds on this. New York State might, because they have demanded an investigation into this. Oh, and I meant to point out also, I think there were like 35 healthcare workers, group home workers, also died as a result of this. Yeah, I'm sorry, 32. An additional 32 care workers who were forced in to the infectious homes have also died, according to records from the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. The April 10th order, which is still in place, guys, is still in place. Nothing's changed. It's still there. All this time, we're coming up on a year. Placed infected patients in the state's more than 7,000 group homes. 6,382 disabled residents, 10,311 workers contracting the Rona. So four New York State senators have put together a letter, and they sent this letter to Senator Anthony Palumbo, the 1st Senate District, and they're wanting an investigation into this too. And it doesn't mean a thing to these cats. Really, you know? It does not mean a thing.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Exactly. Exactly, Peter. That's it right there. And probably in moments when there's nobody else around but his fellow elites, that's exactly what Nipples probably says about this, that it's not that big a deal to him. And that's just New York, people. That is just New York. Oh, my God. I guess we'll move on from that because I could talk trash about it all night, and I'm not going to. I'll talk trash about it a lot more, but that's probably all I'm gonna talk trash about it tonight. But we can talk about Cuomo's book deal. Show you how slimy this dude is. He got an Emmy for all this crap while he knew what his policies were doing in the nursing homes. But he's on TV yucking it up with his brother, Chris. Fredo. If you ask me, both of these clowns are losers and also rants. One of them just conned his way into the governor's mansion, that's all. A book deal, which has been suspended. The publisher, I can't remember who it is. Anyway, they're not going forth with it. Crown Publishing. And they're wanting to look at the deal, the money into this thing. Taking this money, having a book ghostwritten, because, well, you've heard this guy speak. Okay, Hemingway, he ain't. But, excuse me. So he does a book, Lessons in Leadership, the 2020 COVID pandemic, that Donald Trump brought the COVID to New York. Donald Trump brought the COVID to New York. One of the tells, well, obviously, you know, you can tell when Cuomo's lying because he looks at you and he starts talking. But when he's really lying, he repeats everything he said. If he's lying or doesn't mean it, he'll say it twice. No, seriously, he will. Check it out. I got it right here. I think I got it right here. Yeah.
As you probably know, the Attorney General is doing an independent review, and I will fully cooperate with that review.
Because I'm a stand-up guy. I'm a good guy.
I shouldn't say anything when you have a pending review until that review is over. I understand that. I'm a lawyer, too.
So, see, I'm a good guy and a smart guy.
I want New Yorkers to hear from me directly on this.
Okay, what you got to say?
First, I fully support a woman's right to come forward.
Unless she's talking about me.
I think it should be encouraged in every way.
Except in this situation.
I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable.
Wait a minute, I thought you were a smart guy. You're just now figuring this out about yourself?
And I truly and deeply apologize for it.
Oh, my God. Are you getting ready to cry, you
I
little sissy?
Awful
candy ass?
About it.
You fake.
And frankly, I am embarrassed.
I mean,
it's not easy to say. But that's
it's not, probably not easy to be embarrassed for you either.
But
creep.
This is what I want you to know. And I want you to know this from me directly.
So I'll say it twice.
I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never touched anyone inappropriately.
Not the first time.
I never knew at the time that I was making...
Squeezing that girl's titties, I was doing something wrong.
I never knew at the time I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. And I certainly never, ever meant to offend anyone or hurt anyone or cause anyone any pain.
Ever.
That
across
the
entire galaxy.
I would ever want to do. I ask the people of this state to wait for the facts from the Attorney General's report before forming an opinion. Get the facts, please, before forming an opinion. And the Attorney General is doing that review. I will fully cooperate with it. And then you will have the facts. And make a decision when you know.
I think the fact is you're an asshat, Andy. That's the fact here.
That I have learned from what has been an incredibly difficult situation for me as well as other people.
For me, before anybody
and
else.
I've learned an important lesson.
Narcissistic.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry for whatever pain I caused anyone. I never intended it. And I will be the better
a good boy
for this experience.
Jesus Christ. What? How much phonier can you get, man? He didn't mean a word he said. None of it. And he read whatever he said twice, I can guarantee you he didn't mean that twice as much. Twice as less, I guess. You get the idea. This is not a cat who has a conscience. This is not a guy who has a sense of fair play. This is not a dude that has any kind of sense of humanity at all. This is a sociopath. He doesn't even see these people as people. You know, one grandma dies, that's a tragedy. 15,000 grandma dies, that's a statistic. When really the truth is, it's 15,000 damn tragedies. So he gets a book deal from all this, in all these things, okay? He does everything he can to kill people while he's acting like he's doing everything he can to save people. Hollywood fawns over him. The news media fawns over him. The speculation is at this time, about 5 months ago, 6 months ago, you know, in late summer, early autumn, Biden was faltering. He wasn't doing well. And they were thinking maybe before the convention, we got to get somebody else in here. And they were looking at nipples. Cuomo, not just nipples, you know, just no, nipples Cuomo. They give him an Emmy. They give him a fat book deal. He acts like he's been doing something good. He hasn't. He is every bit as evil as his plaudits and his praisers say he is good. I guarantee you, if he's thinking about those dead people, those dead group home people, those dead nursing home people, he's thinking about them in terms of how he is going to have to bear the brunt of it, where he doesn't think he should. The gold standard. The gold standard right there.
Your governor of New York's done one hell of a job. I think he's sort of a gold standard.
A third of all deaths in this nation are from nursing homes. New York State, we're only about 28% only, but we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes. But who cares? 33, 28 died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
Right there. 28 died in a hospital, 28 died in a... That's how they did it. That's how they cooked this thing down. If they came from a nursing home and they went to the hospital and died, they didn't report it as a nursing home death, even though it was, because they were nursing home residents. He knew what he was talking about right there. Because that's how they did it. That's how they covered it up. That's how they cooked it. Scandal? No. This is not a scandal, America. This is a crime. This is homicide. Negligent homicide in the very least. And I'm thinking more like maybe second degree, because there was no negligence here. There was intent here as of March 25th, 2020, when the New York Board of Health mandates directed nursing homes to engage in this extermination program, even help it along. They're going to take his Emmy back? Is he going to have to give back that money on the book deal, the advances? Is he going to have to give that back? And a new poll out Monday, today, said half of New York voters don't think Andrew Cuomo should resign. No, I'm not making it up. The Democrat governor's approval rating has sunk to its lowest point in the Siena College poll since taking office 2011, with only 43% of registered New York voters having a favorable view of him. However, that's down from 56% in February and a high of 77% reached last year during the early days of the coronavirus pandemic. Fifty % of them say, hey, yeah, leave him in, hell. God. No, I'm not making it up, man. That's for real. That is absolutely for real. Latest poll was conducted March 8th through 12th, which is last week, among 805 registered New York voters and has a margin of error plus or minus 4.1 percentage points. A clear majority, 61% of the polled voters who are Democrats, said he should not resign. Are we getting the government we deserve? I guess New York is. No, seriously, man. more than 50% of New Yorkers say he should stay in. Gary, what the hell's going on up there with you people? I'm going to have to get Cutler on this. Oh, could you imagine? Yeah, we got to get Mike. I got to talk to him. We need to get him back in here. But scandal, uproar. It's a crime. 15,000 people die is not a scandal. And who knows what the hell the numbers are in Philadelphia, in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in California. Because everybody's looking at Cuomo right now. And those guys are thinking, oh, thank God. But it's going to close in on those others as well. Gretchen Whitmer, Phil Murphy, Tom Wolf, Gavin Newsom. Half of them wanting to stay. I'll tell you somebody I don't think is going to be staying very long at all, and that's Joe Biden. My guess is, and you know what? Look, it's just according to Andrea Widberg, it is the worst kept secret in Washington D.C. Look at the guy, okay? Look at it. Look at his eyes. I'm not an expert. And, you know, I remember when all these armchair psychologists were diagnosing Donald Trump as the next Dr. Strangelove. And they'd never, you know, they hadn't been within, you know, 500 feet of the dude. Some of them probably never been in the same state with him at the same time. But, you know, they're using their credentials and they're telling us that, you know, he's ready for the booby hatch. And so I understand the dangers of that, because it's very irresponsible, it's very reckless, but guys, look at him. Look at him.
Come on, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. What's going on right now, I think, and sooner or later we're going to find out. They are running some kind of, I suspect, specially designed cocktail of cognitive enhancers, cognitive preservatives, cognitive glue traps to just keep some kind of thought stuck up in there, anything to, you know, stave off this cognitive decline, to get him through as far as they can, as sharp as they can. But here's the problem. At some point, these cognitive medications aren't going to work. Because they're not going to be able, I don't think, at some point they will no longer be able to keep pace with the rate of his cognitive decline. Personally, I think we're there. I don't know that we'll, first term, can you see, what do you think Joe Biden would be like given the rate that we see now, given what we see with him now? And I don't care, you know, if they rest him 3 days out of the week and then he comes out for 40 minutes on a Thursday, and then we don't see him again until Sunday. I don't care what they do. The minute they drag him out of his suspended animation chamber, we're still going to see a guy in cognitive decline to a greater or lesser degree. And we have a metric. We have a baseline to look at because he's a public figure. He's been in front of cameras for 45, 50 years. Now, granted, he was never a Rhodes Scholar to start out with. But it's gotten worse, man. It's gotten worse. My money in the pool is by the end of summer. At a very optimistic stretch, Christmas time. And in the meantime, our enemies plot our downfall. Trevor Loudon spoke at length last night as the first guest at Gary's program, United Patriots Uprising. Every other Monday, right here at Patriot Nation Radio, Gary Benford, United Patriots Uprising. You better listen. Trevor Loudon, of course, probably, in my opinion, the world's foremost expert on communist infiltration in the United States federal government. The chief executive of the United States is beholden to the communist Chinese government for a boatload of money. The House Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, is also visibly enriched because his wife, former Secretary of Transportation Elizabeth Chao, who stepped down coincidentally right about the time of the January 6th rhubarb, after it was discovered there had been a meeting between Moon Mahal and Bill Barr concerning an investigation involving misappropriation of funds from the Transportation Department. But they decided they were going to drop it. And Mitch McConnell said, I'm going to go back to Kentucky for a long time. I guess I'm going to go up, or whatever the hell he says. Iran has been emboldened. North Korea won't even take the guy's calls. Little Rocket Man, not taking any calls. Got his sister. She's a tough one, too. And, you know, how tough do you have to be to deal with these guys? These are third and fourth tier Obama, Clinton retreads, rejects. These aren't the shock troops. These aren't the top tier people. You got a few of those. You got Susan Rice running around there. You got, what's the other girl's name? Valerie Jarrett. All right, whatever, fine. And what then? What then when they finally take this doddering old fool off to his twilight and set him on the veranda at a lake house somewhere where he thinks about when he was Neil Armstrong or whatever, you know, whatever, who knows what he's going to say. But it's not just the Bidens. Eric Swalwell's been compromised because of that girl, Fang. Oh, my God. Eric. Dude, you farted on TV and wouldn't own it. You think anybody's going to believe you for anything? You stooge? God. Swalwell. Swelled head. Meanwhile, at the border... Oh, you know what? I just happened to think. Our pal Mike Cutler must be in his ascendancy because there's nobody who knows immigration better than Mike Cutler. And if you've listened to the shows where our friend has been with us, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm sure that he's probably a man in demand for real now. So we have to get him back. But, you know, it's just wide open at the border. It's wide open at the border. And these kids are coming in. And when this was happening in the early days of the Trump administration, you remember the frame up, the smear about kids in cages, right? Okay, well they were never in cages. That was all a put on job. It was all a put up job. And you know the photographs that they used to kind of suggest that the conditions were so terrible were taken during the Obama administration. But there's a facility in Texas that is infamous for this, and that was that's the place where they said the kids were kept in cages and the bar back. What's her name? Ocasio-Cortez. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said this was a place where the people were drinking from toilets. and it wasn't true. It was a fixture that had a toilet and the urinal section underneath, and up above, out of the way from everything, was a basin for drinking clean, potable water. Well, guess who's using that facility now? By God, you're right. Joe Biden. Absolutely. That's exactly who's using it now. And here's what Joe had to say. This was a couple of weeks ago when all this was happening, and it's gotten much worse. It's gotten much worse now. And he's speaking. Jill Biden is with him, and we'll show you a little bit. Well, you'll see when you hear this. I played it a couple of weeks back. Here's the deal. Here's what's going on with the kids in cages now, as opposed to the kids in cages that they smeared and framed Donald Trump with. Check it out.
Important. Mr. President, in the 5 weeks you've been in office, you have been taking many actions to revert Trump administration's anti-immigration policy. But today, the Washington Post reports that your administration has plans to open tents at Del Rio, a town close to the border. Can you confirm that?
Well, what I can confirm is there's over 70, right now there's thousands of immigrants, thousands of unaccompanied children coming across the border. Mm-hmm. We've been able to place a significant number of them in licensed facilities throughout the country, shelters throughout the country. But what happened is Texas, they opened up one that was a former one used in the administration, the last administration.
The kids in cages,
our hope
Joe.
And expectation is that won't stay open very long, that we'll be able to provide for every kid who comes across the border safely to be housed in
open
a facility
expect.
That's licensed. And what we're trying to do, and we have literally hundreds of people doing it now, connect them with families in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to the families that they came to see or they're looking for. And we've already connected thousands of them for that way. And so that's
thousands
our
of COVID-infected illegal aliens are moving through the heartland of this country
while they wait to have a hearing.
And this administration
so
is doing it in a humane way. And that's really important. I mean, we want to make sure that these children are safe, that they get mental health services, they get physical health services, they get education. So we are really concerned about
and it's
got to
be
children.
Free.
For how
it's
long
be on the taxpayer
is the administration
in the
planning
States nickel.
To have the kids in this facilities? Not only the tents that you mentioned, Mr. President, but also the other facilities that look like portable containers or I don't know
cages.
How can you call them. But really brings bad memories from the kids in cages. And how is it different from?
Well, it's much different in terms of we have people there helping them. We have people that are in those facilities taking care of them. But my hope is they all are able to get out. All
yeah.
are able to get into
Jill, you got something
licensed
you need to say
facilities
here, honey?
And or be
okay.
united with family members here in the United States.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. It's my hope and expectation we can get them out of there. Joe, son, you're the president of the United States. Pick up the phone and move them. We hope and expect we can get them out of there. It's different now because we got people there to help them in those cages. These are Democrat cages of compassion, cages of love, man, not those evil conservative cages of cruelty. So, it's way different. You know, I mean, we got people there. We got people there, you know, you get the kids in the cages, you know, and we got people there on the other side of the cages, and they're there to help them. Absolutely they are.
Come on, man.
I know what you're talking about, Joe. Different. The guy's an idiot. Now, and here's, and again, you know, thousands of unaccompanied children. Now, what does that mean? That means a kid, no mom, no dad, no uncle, no step uncle, no human trafficker, unaccompanied, just, you know. 10,000 kids from some southern province in Mexico, or from even further, some northern province in Guatemala, just say, you know what, we go to America. And then you 2 and 3 pick up here. Hey, Manuel, where are you going? To America. What? See? Okay, I will go with you. No, that's, is it? It's all coordinated, cats. It's all coordinated. They're not checking anybody for COVID at the border. Hell, they're not even protecting the border patrol. Oh, yeah, we're giving them vaccinations. Border Patrol Union says, the hell they are. They're not doing anything. They're lying. And in the dead of night, they're busing these people. Into the heartland of this country. Like a hypodermic needle injecting poison into the bloodstream. No, I'm not a racist. I just don't want them here. There's a policy. There's a procedure. And you got to follow that procedure. And if you don't follow that procedure and you get to jump to the head of the line, it's not fair. And what's going on here that the government's doing to the American people is not fair. These Democrats are doing this. Do you discount that possibility that they want to see a resurgence of the COVID? So they're bringing in these diseased people and they're sending them all over the country, hither and yon. They want to start this crap up again, man. You know what? I mean,
come on, man.
Yes, exactly. Is that any less plausible? Is that any less far-fetched than the Obama administration securing the services of the intelligence community to spy on American citizens, to spy on an opposing political campaign in an election year, tapping phones, checking people out? Nobody believed in that either, but by God, they did it. How is this any different? You know what the most telling indicator of this conspiracy really is? It's success. Democrats have been pretty damn successful in the last couple of years with what they've done. And I know there's a lot of us out here that have done it. Like I said, I did it for a living, and that's tough. But if you're dealing with elderly relatives, maybe grandmother, maybe mom or dad, or an aunt, or whatever. I mean, you know, and they're having trouble with some kind of cognitive decline. It could be Alzheimer's, or it could be age-related senility. It could be organic effect. There's a lot of different things. You don't need to be doctors to recognize what's going on, do you? Because you've seen it. You lived with it. You held its hand. You tried to comfort it. You got frustrated and heartbroken when you couldn't reason with it. You cried when it couldn't recognize you. Nah, you don't need to be a doctor. I don't care what they say. Now think about this for a minute. This is from Sally Zelikowski, and it's a pretty compassionate statement in a way. Stress and anxiety don't cause dementia, but they can exacerbate a dementia patient's confusion. It can be brought on by something as mundane as a large family gathering, change in the routine, a fall, a visit to the hospital, or stress from a job. While sundowning, and we'll get into that in a minute, or decompensating after a family event are common fallouts from stress. the real challenge is the accumulation of stress and anxiety over time that leads to confusion and ultimately delusions, which in turn foster increased levels of anxiety that exacerbate the confusion experience and result in even more delusions. And it's a soul crushing cycle. It just goes on. Biden's minders, his wife, the First Lady, and Kamala Harris doing their best to insulate Joe Biden from this stress. But he's the president of the United States. He's got to get out of the bedroom every now and then, and he's got to play at being president. And I would imagine that the stressors of being the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, even on a good day, even where everything was copacetic, and we all understood one another, and we were walking, everybody was moving with purpose. To a guy like Joe Biden, even a good day, even good pressures, good stressors, you got to play hell on what's already a fairly tenuous grasp on memory and reality. There were representatives in the House. I'm sorry, these were House Democrats. About 3 weeks ago, wrote a letter requesting that the authorization for the president to use the nuclear codes be removed from the authority of one man and placed within the purview of a four-person committee. Dan Bongino, the former Secret Service agent, after hearing Democrats wanted to remove those codes, had talked to some of his folks that are still in the business, and they say that Biden is in real significant trouble. Watch him. We still haven't had a State of the Union address. We had that word salad last Tuesday, celebrating the one-year anniversary of the two-week flattening of the curve. He hasn't done a press conference. He can't. He can't give a press conference. He can't give a State of the Union address. Look at him. More importantly, when he's out in front of the cameras, watch those people around him. Watch Kamala Harris. Watch Jill Biden. Don't mind Hunter over in the corner with the crack pipe and the 14-year-old Chinese communist whore, but watch the other people around him. They're like Australian shepherds, and he's their flock, and they're watching him very closely, and they're helping him around. Now, I don't have any sympathy for Joe Biden. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a cheat. For 50 years, he has enriched himself and his family on our nickels. And for the foreign nickels, he has sacrificed American integrity and security to enrich himself. I don't feel bad for him. Now, from a state of humanity, again, no, I still don't feel bad for him. He wanted this. And that was something else he sacrificed. Well, he never had any to begin with. He just sacrificed them to these guys, just like he sacrificed his principles and his morality to the communist Chinese. He wanted to be president of the United States. And wanted to be First Lady. And there were people that could make this happen. And Joe Biden, I think, looked at those people, or they looked at Joe. And they said, Joe, you really want to be president, don't you, son? And Joe went, and just going to look at him and say,
come on, man.
Hell yeah, I want to be president. I want Air Force One for a change. I want the White House. I want the Oval Office, the Oval Basement. Well, my God. Well, Joe, I think we can work something out. Now, let's I'm going to talk straight to you, Joe, while I can. You know you've lost a step. You were never that smart to begin with, Joe. And you're getting older, you're getting slower, and it's harder for you at times to make the connections. Well, we don't think that's a problem. As a matter of fact, we've got some really good people that can come in and they can help you in those times and make those connections for you, Joe. Make it easy. You want to be president? Well, we want you to be president. We think you can help us out and do the country a lot of good. And you better bet he did the country good. Real good. And they made it happen. Crooked sons of bitches. They did. They won. They got to everybody they needed to get to. They exerted pressure wherever they needed to put it. They put leverage where they needed to put it. They put money where they needed to put it. They put compact discs with pretty exciting photos where they needed to be, and they made it happen. From New York to California to the Supreme Court to Atlanta, everywhere, they made it happen. So now Joe's there. And he's going to do what he can for him because he made this deal. And again, at some point, the cognitive enhancing cocktail that they've got him on is not going to be able to keep pace with the rate of his cognitive decline. And we are facing some serious problems at the border, and the White House simply ignores it. Soon. And those gears, those wheels may already be turning. Something's going to happen abroad. Something's going to happen overseas. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad because these people are not prepared. These people are weak. These people are indecisive. These people are appeasers. Appeasement never works, people. It never works. Our enemies laugh. They high five, they chest bump, they drink champagne. He was never, ever, ever more than just marginally competent to start out with. In a just world, every Democrat operative, every Democrat senator, congressman, campaign aide, handler who knew about this, who knew about Joe Biden's sagging mental abilities, they would be arrested and they would be prosecuted for fraud and the American people would get an election do-over, but that's not going to happen. We're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to grit our teeth. We're going to have to push. I'm not advocating violence, and that's not what I'm saying. But here's the problem. There are those on the left who have already advocated violence. They practice it. Violence to them is just another really good method, you know, is just another really good aspect of political theater. Burning cities, bashed in heads. Businesses, families, futures, all destroyed. For what? Some three-time loser who held a loaded pistol to a pregnant woman's belly and said if she didn't give up the drugs, he was going to kill the kid. A hero. That's what that's what this was about. Some guy that, you know, another guy that disobeyed police instructions and was trying to get a knife, ostensibly so he could attack law enforcement officers with it. We're going to burn down Missouri over that. Some dude that was high on drugs passed out in the drive-through lane at Wendy's. Cops were going to let him go, but then he shot his mouth off, and then he stole a taser and tried to shoot cops with it. We're going to burn down Atlanta for him. And we're going to kill a little girl. Her name was Sequoria Williamson. Right there where that Wendy's was, the Antifa and the BLM types were out parading around, deciding who they were going to let go through the roadblock. Well, they shot at the car that little Sequoria Williamson was in as they ran the roadblock, and they killed that kid. And to my knowledge, nobody's been brought to justice over that at all. 8-year-old girl. That's what this is about. That's what we're doing. So violence is a very effective aspect of political theater, and those people are using it. They've been using it for a while. And it's going to call for an even greater level of restraint on our side to find some way to negotiate this while trying to keep the violence at a minimum. While I do not advocate it, I am unsure that that can be done. Ninety seconds out, and I think that's probably a good place for us to stop. We got a lot to think about in the coming months and years and what we're going to be doing. And I'm glad you took a little time to hang out with me or let me hang out with you and talk about some of them. Twice a week live, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ordinarily 2 hours on a Tuesday, but I'm just 90 minutes will be good. And then we'll be back here Thursday, this coming Thursday, with the handsome one himself, Mark Hoffman, El Guapo with Patriot Nation Radio Live. I'll be on from 7 to 8. Mark comes on 8 to 9. Every other Monday, Gary Benford, United Patriots Uprising. That's all the time we got, guys. I'm out of here. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hang with you. God bless you. God bless America. We will be back Thursday, 7 p.m., Lord willing, and the river don't rise, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. You folks take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you here in a couple of days.
Come on, man.
All right.